Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, Takara Generation Selects King Poseidon is available in Australia only. Walmart has a listing for Netflix's War for Cybertron Deluxe Cheetor, and a listing has been found for Studio Series Devastator. Today is Wednesday, May 20th, 2020, and this is episode 382 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that hopes My Little Megatron crushes My Little Prime with her bare hooves. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Technology sucks. How was your week?
Creator, producer, and star of Empire of Rust, Editor Mike.
Awesome.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
If you've got My Little Pony Transformers, do you still call them cutie marks? Let's talk Transformers.
Maybe. The cutie marks are the Autobot and Decepticon symbols.
I don't know what a cutie mark is.
That's okay, Jeremy. It's very masculine of you. Congratulations.
Honestly, I just don't know.
You never will with that attitude. Mike, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Glad you could join us. And we are all enjoying Empire. Well, I'm enjoying Empire of Rust. I don't know if these guys are listening. They should be. I've been telling them to, but
I fell behind. I don't know what's a good jumping on point. And now I'm just scared. I can't get into it with so many episodes being behind now. I don't got that kind of time.
There's only like 20 episodes.
That's 20 hours, man.
My current podcast playlist is 2 days, 14 hours, 21 minutes, 36 seconds. So it's in there somewhere.
I've actually caught up on my playlists. Considering I don't talk to anyone during the day.
You don't have to help teach kids.
Yeah, see, that's the difference. Is I got a wife and kid at home that I've got to still kind of give attention to. And my podcasts have not been playing since this whole thing started. So everything's just backing up.
They've got what I'm hearing is a lot of excuses. But anyway, Empire of Rust is great.
Well, I appreciate that I at least have 25% of the hosts.
Well, you know, technically.
Oh, he counts for so much.
Yeah, he's like 98%.
Actually, I think Yoshi is listening to it too, so I'll say 50%. I'll make that assumption.
Glad we could get you for this week's set of shows, and we're gonna have some fun.
Absolutely.
Although we are starting off on a bit of a down note. This was really really sad. Fred Willard. I mean, he's a well-known actor. He's been in lots of stuff. He's been in lots of sitcoms. He's been done voiceovers and lots of different things. And one of those things that he did was Swindle in Transformers Animated, which, kind of a, fast-talking used car salesman kind of character. So kind of fit Fred Willard's persona a little bit. But yeah, so this actor, he passed away at 86 years old. So had a good run, but yeah, it's always sad to lose someone who's done some work on Transformers. So
he was very funny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Our condolences to his family and wish them well. But yeah. So moving on, let's bring it back up to talking about Transformers. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrons, those lovely people who support the show and keep us going. You guys are awesome. We really appreciate all the support you give us. And we thank you for your continued support. And anyone who would like to become a Donatron, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. Another way to support the show is by buying some of our merchandise at our TeePublic store, which is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can also check out K-Girl's store at teepublic.com/user/superstarK. She's an awesome artist who's done a lot of art for us, and she has some cool designs, too. On RT Public Store, we've got new shirt designs. We've got masks. You can turn any of our designs into masks. Those are hot commodities these days for, you know, lots of your going out in public needs. And this week, there's another T Public flash sale. So it's a quick one, though. It's just today, May 20th, and tomorrow, May 21st. So it's only for this show, won't even make it to alt mode. So by the time you listen to alt mode, the sale's already over. But yeah, you've got today and tomorrow, everything 35% off. So if you did want to get something from our store, this would be the time to do it. And thanks to the folks who bought some stuff last week. We really appreciate it. And one of the perks of being a Donatron and supporting the show means you get access to some exclusive content that's only available for you guys. We do record some news updates during the week if there's breaking news after we've recorded the podcast. So Jeremy and Daryl have been keeping up with that. And we also have some uncut versions of Empire of Rust episodes. So Mike releases the audio with all the extra outtakes still in there. And this week, Empire of Rust episode 23 is getting its uncut version exclusive for the Donatron. So episode 23 came out last week, and now we've got the uncut version.
With all of the jokes that were cut, all the comments that were cut, everything that I found not to be appropriate, we left it in there.
But that's only for the Donatrons, so, you know.
Got to pay to play, right?
Exactly, exactly.
It's in the contract.
It is in the contract. Speaking of Donatrons, we got some feedback on Empire of Rust from one of your biggest fans, Mike, Robin, on Twitter. He's been really enjoying Empire of Rust. I think it's number one on his Transmissions adjacent podcast. I think it's above Transmissions now. So he sent us a tweet. He said, you know, I love you guys and look forward to the shows, but I literally cannot wait for Empire of Rust each time. If it's every other week, could we get another story going on the other weeks? It's bloody brilliant. I actually didn't think I'd be into it, but it rocks.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Damn right. Yeah, and unfortunately, it's just getting everyone scheduled. Getting everyone scheduled for like a once a month recording session is tough enough, and I can't imagine being able to schedule anything, even like twice a month. It would be rough. Unfortunately, all of the players have day jobs, and they don't have schedules that really go like a 9 to 5 or like an 8 to 6 kind of job. So. Unfortunately, the timing and the schedule is always tricky. So that's the only reason we were able to kind of get everything set the way it was, is because we had that like once a month set time for recording. We've sometimes gotten like up to like 3 episodes in a session, but pretty much when we record, we'll go through 2 sessions, and that's really all we have time for. I would love to do like more stuff. It's just. Yeah, I mean, there's just no time to get extra recordings.
And you do it in person too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Somehow I don't think this answer is going to satisfy Robin, because I did tweet back to him on Transmission and I said, you know, we're glad you're enjoying the show, but, you know, we can't work Mike too hard. And
no one cares.
His reply was... His literal reply was work him till he bleeds rust. So Robin is unsympathetic to your petty scheduling problems. That sounds like sounds like just another excuse. So he demands more Empire of Rust all the time.
Hey, let's be honest. If our positions were reversed, I'd say screw you two. Get me my content.
Well, sorry, Robin. I think you're going to have to make do with the twice bi-weekly schedule for the foreseeable future. But good stuff's coming up.
But hey, now you get the unedited ones in between.
Yeah. So there you go. Just, you know, you get you
listen to it
exactly.
Again.
Exactly. All right. Now let's get into talking about some toys.
All right. And first up this week, we've got a new, I guess, item announcement from, I guess, where's it coming from? No, I don't really see any kind of like store attached to this, but one of the users on TFW 2005 found that we should be expecting a box set of for Studio Series Devastator. Damn, this is going to be big.
It was NDA Toys.
Okay. So that's a store.
That's the store.
That's in the UK. Yeah, so they are currently showing this thing to be in pounds, £233. I don't know. It's expensive. So I don't know the conversion of that. I didn't do it in my head. So, but anyway, it's a big box. It's going to be 15.2 by 76.2 by 50.8 centimeters. It's quite large, and this is going to contain all eight figures to form Studio Series Devastator in the same colors in which they have been released individually. So there's no date set here, just setting as coming soon. It's expected to be pretty expensive. This kind of flies in the face of everyone who's individually buying these things, like myself. But are we really surprised? Not personally. They got to find a way to get more life out of this mold. We've seen it that some of them are being recolored and reissued. So that little pogo stick guy, I can't remember his name, but I think it was Rampage. Yeah, he's being reissued in yellow now. And being called some other name. So they're probably going to start doing this with a few other of the other figures. But yeah, is anyone interested in, you know, maybe getting the entirety of the set all at once? I know we've talked about it individually, but the fact that you can buy it all at once here, this is a big, you know, a big purchase. You don't have to worry about hunting them down or missing out on any. Mike, we've never talked to you about it. What's your thoughts on them?
It's a really interesting figure. This thing is massive, too. This is like, what, 2 feet tall or something?
Oh, it's big, yeah.
Okay, I love that this box set is coming out because, especially when I was still able to go to stores to actually buy stuff, I rarely found the Studio Series stuff in there much. And I certainly hadn't seen all of the Constructicons there at any one time. So if I wanted to find them all in my area, it was difficult. So it is really good that this set is coming out and that anyone who missed pieces or just wasn't able to get it can now get it. And that's great. Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't really like the look of the figure, so I'm certainly going to be passing on it. But I mean, it's like I said, it's good. I mean, like it was said on the cast like plenty of times, you know, this is people's Gen 1. So it is good that they can get the set, and it's certainly great that they can get it all at once if they didn't get it on the didn't hunt it individually. But yeah, this is not for me certainly, but it's good that it's out there.
Okay, so you aren't actually getting any of the Studio Series Devastator pieces.
I think I have one Studio Series figure, and I think it was the leader size Grimlock. That came out a while ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a Christmas gift. So, but yeah, so I got like one of them and that was it.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts on the gift set aspect of this? We've discussed the individual pieces a bunch of times, but, you know, getting it as a gift set, it looks like it's going to be around $400 or so. I haven't done any of the math or converted anything of the pricing.
It looks like, according to Charles in the chat here, around 270 US. Just, I think, reasonable for something this big. Devastator gift set is something that has a long tradition in Transformers. So that's neat.
Oh, yes.
That's how I got my first Devastator back in the day. And, you know, I think for people that this is their G1, if they haven't been hunting it or they've had problems, like Mike said, I think I always like being able to get all the pieces of a combiner all at once.
Right.
And just, the thrill of the hunt is not really an aspect of collecting that I enjoy anymore.
Hmm.
It does kind of suck for people that have been buying it individually, like you.
Yep.
I don't know if you're going to be getting that much more, getting the gift set. Like, I don't think there's going to be that many extras. So when you pick up that last one or two that you need, is it, I don't even know if there's going to be a cost savings there. But you're so far down the path, it's like you're not going to get this.
Right. Present. No, you're exactly. I'm pot committed now. And and a while back, I did do a bunch of tweets about what the actual, like, the costs were towards this thing. Because we've got two deluxes, four Voyagers, and two leaders. And
I'll speculate that this is going to be something targeting the holiday season. So, you know, you have the individual ones coming out, you know, right now. I don't anticipate this coming out right as the individual ones are finishing up, because I think that would really upset people. It's more likely this is going to be something targeting the holiday release. And that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, let me ask, is this going to end up being the same price as all the stuff you spent individually?
I think it's around $240 American for the individuals. It's still, I don't know what the...
So you're actually saving money buying them individually?
I guess.
So is it, you said it was two leaders, four Voyagers, and two deluxes?
I think I only counted two Voyagers, so...
Okay, two deluxes, that's 20 and 20, that's 40. Two leaders is 100, so that's 140. And then four Voyagers. Are Voyagers 30 or 40?
I believe they're 40.
Okay, then that's 160 plus 140, that's 300.
So you are saving some money if you got the box.
Yeah, not a huge amount, but a little bit.
You know, like I said, I think this is going to be for the holiday market, and I think that would be smart to space out. So it'll be off the shelves individually by the time this probably comes on.
Yeah. The original tweet that that I had gone and put out was a comparison between the completed Studio Series Devastator and the third-party one, Troublemaker. Remember that one we were talking about for a while there? And how the Studio Series one was going to come out to $300 or so. And this Troublemaker one was going to be like $900. Like, it's just astronomically high by comparison. Sure, it looks better and it's, you know, probably better quality, but it's just, you could buy three of these Studio Series Devastators for the price of the Troublemaker. So, anywho, Charles, do you have any thoughts to add to this? I mean, we're very well aware of your opinions on Revenge of the Fallen Devastator, but what about getting it as a gift set? Can you what are your thoughts on just, you know, throwing a gift set together for this thing?
It's nice, it's convenient to have them all in one package. It also, like, shows me how little I want this thing, that it, you know, that all these figures cost this much, and it's a figure I really don't like the look of, so it's an easy pass for me. But yeah, sure. It's I mean, I guess this is a good gift for Eric Crownover, I guess.
Like, we all know that Scorponok is the next Titan class figure. It's cheaper than this, but are they continuously throwing out figures that are now going to be next level expensive? Right? We all know, yes, it's eight figures, and it's in one box, so it's one purchase, right? It's not a Unicron at $675 or $575 or whatever the hell it was, but these are figures that are now taking that retail price point and just launching it into the stratosphere. Yeah, you can't get Unicron in the stores, but you can get this. And you can get Scorponok. How far are they going to push it?
I mean, I think they're taking their cues from what's happening with Masterpiece, and to some extent, maybe they're seeing what's happening in third party. Like, they're seeing people are willing to shell out significant amounts for Masterpiece and third party, and maybe they think there's a market for these huge figures. And I mean, the Titan class figures are, I mean, they've been doing this for several years now. So I think they see there's a market for that. This is, yeah, I mean, this is $100 above the Titan class figure, but they also, you know, it's also marketed as eight figures and, you know, that combine into one. So I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to, we're going to see this experimentation where they're going to see how far they can push the collector market because they see, I mean, Hasbro doesn't talk about third party, but I'm sure they see what's happening in third party and they see people still buying third party stuff and paying a lot more for third party if the quality is there, if the engineering is there. And Hasbro's going to say, hey, we can do engineering if you're willing to pony up the money.
Sure.
And yeah, they're going to test that.
The last point I was going to make about this is kind of following on what you're going to say or what you just said. Yeah, Hasbro has the ability to put something like this out. The difference being between third party and Hasbro is that if Hasbro, you know, makes a mistake or doesn't, not that they made a mistake, but if they price something too high, their stuff just isn't going to just sit on the shelf forever. You know, their stuff will eventually get discounted or end up at a place like an Ollie's or something like that, right? Where somebody's going to lose some money on this. Whereas if it's third party, right, it might end up being discounted at somewhere, right? But there's definitely not the amount that there's going to be made of these things. And that's going to be the main difference, is that this is mass produced, third party isn't. And there's the chance that this thing could fail spectacularly because of the price point, right? So we'll, like you said, it's an experiment. We'll see how it goes. I'd love to see something like this, maybe not this exact thing, because I'm already 6 out of 8 figures committed. I would like to see something in this like this in the future where it's limited, and you know it's limited because they're not going to make many of them. But it's an interesting kind of experiment, and you can kind of see the seeds of an idea here that they've got going on. But yeah, anyway, this was supposed to be just a really quick little topic, and it turned into something much bigger than that. I did want to talk about one other thing, and that was Iron Factory's EX36R Chaos Raven, and it's their Legends scale, the Fallen figure, and we've got some final product images of it. There is it looks good. This is a remold of their EX36 Tyrant Megatron figure. That was the one that you could kind of take apart and make into a whole bunch of different looking Megatrons with the accoutrement that it came with. So this guy still kind of, you know, transforms into a like a weird 4-footed tank. So the tank that Megatron turned into, but black and orange. But he looks pretty cool. He's got some really nice orange accents. The clear translucent plastic that makes up his like the little highlights of his body are really neat. Some really dark purple on him as well that I don't know if I remember seeing on any other Fallen figures before, but it looks good. It looks nice. I've never really been much of a fan of the Fallen. I don't know. I think it looks kind of cool. Let's start with Charles. What do you think of this? You're a very big fan of Legends class figures, and I know you love the Fallen, so I'm sure you're getting this.
I mean, I do like the look of this figure. The orange highlights look good. I am not a fan of the Fallen, actually. I think I think the Fallen should have stayed inside War Within and not like become a big part of the franchise the way it did.
What, are you calling me a liar?
Yes, actually I am.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean this is a good looking figure. And I do like this version of the Fallen compared to when he became, I guess, Megatronus later on in other continuities, and instead of, you know, this kind of random dude on fire. I don't like the Fallen, but I really hate the name Megatronus. I just think that's super dumb. I mean, come on. Megatron is Megatron. He didn't name himself after some dude named Megatronus. That doesn't make any sense. So this guy looks good. I like the cape. I like the accessories. I like the sword. I don't know if I'll buy this. This might have been an impulse buy if I was at a con. But since that's never going to happen again, I don't know if I'm going to pick this up. Okay, it might happen in 10 years. I don't know.
Maybe. All right. Well, Jeremy, if Simon Furman had come up with the name Megatronus and said that that was where Megatron got his name, do you think Charles would be into it then?
As long as it was accompanied by art by Jeff Siemens.
Right. There, okay.
Hey, you know, Simon Furman did come up with The Fallen, and I'm saying I don't like The Fallen. He came up with The Fallen. I still don't like The Fallen.
Jeff Senior art.
And it was Andrew Wildman art, who's my second favorite artist from G1, and I still don't like it.
It's not good enough. It's still not good enough, I guess. This guy's really hard to please. What are your thoughts, Jeremy?
I think this character, this design looks really cool. Kind of getting some Galvatron vibes from the headpiece.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's neat, combining the whole Megatron Galvatron thing. I like the use of the translucent plastic. It looks like it's really kind of placed well with the right light hitting it. You know, it's a nice effect, and the cape being translucent, I think works really well on it. I also have never been a big fan of the character, but I wasn't going to buy this anyway because it's just not in my budget right now to be spending on third party figures.
Mm.
But I appreciate the look of this figure. I think for fans of the character, I think they're getting something great.
And Mike, I you like ravens who are chaotic, right?
Sure. I mean, do you know about any like orderly ravens?
Ravens are dicks.
I think you're kind of bearing the lead in the question here, Daryl. I don't know. The only ravens I know are chaotic.
Well, okay.
If you know something I don't, then please tell
Maybe
me.
Maybe Canadian ravens are nice.
You know, that could be it. Yeah. Are your ravens up there nice to you? Or, you know, do they like pick up your wallet if you drop it or something?
They cause no problems. I wouldn't say they're chaotic.
So more neutral.
So they send their dick ravens down here just like they send their dick geese.
We have the dick geese here too.
Nice. Yes, I actually really like the look of the figure. I love the customizability on a lot of this stuff. So like it looks like it's got a bunch of like extra ports that you can move stuff around on. I love the fact that you can transform that sword into a mace. It's kind of neat. Mm. And yeah, the translucent plastic for the flames, that's pretty cool. I like it. I approve.
Cool. All right. Well, that's all I brought to the show this week. Jeremy, what do you got for us?
I have a crossover we never thought we'd see in toys. Hot off the news last week, not on our show, but just kind of hitting sites last week, was a My Little Pony Ghostbusters crossover. And in there was text mentioning a My Little Prime figure, and now we have pictures. This is a My Little Pony figure, non-transformable, just a My Little Pony figure. Painted up with metallic red and blue paint to kind of look like an Optimus Prime if Optimus Prime was a pony. I'm not a My Little Pony collector, but I imagine there is enough crossover there that this will be popular with a good segment of both fandoms.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, we'll start with you, I guess. You have a daughter. So
that I do.
You are familiar with the world of the ponies. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's a... it's an interesting paint job. Weird thing is I think it's dumb, but I have a weird feeling that it's good. This one figure is going to be worth an absolute fortune because it's going to be one of those things that hits the right market of just collectors. And it's just a weird little paint job on it. It's just crazy enough to be collectible, and it's probably one of those things that was going to be a convention exclusive or something like that, or I don't know. It's who knows what the initial, you know, life of this thing was supposed to be, but I have a strange feeling that this thing is probably going to be like $100-$150 in like a year.
Yeah, I would think you're probably right. I mean, like we saw with the Ghostbusters Transformers stuff, you're hitting two fandoms. So you're doubling your chances of it selling. Charles, I know you're super excited about the comic crossover that's coming up. What are your thoughts on the figure?
It's cute, I guess. The Autobot symbol is the cutie mark. So that's where the horses have the little mark on their butt that symbolizes, you know, their little symbol. So he's got an Autobot symbol there, or she. I don't know if it's a he or a she, but yeah, it's cute, I guess.
I do like the look of the Autobot logo there, where it's kind of like painted on. It's like dripping. So yeah. I like the look of that logo.
I wonder if DJ Ronan will pick up the inevitable Sparkle Scream. That's the next figure that comes out.
Is that the next figure?
No, I think this is it. From the text on the Amazon listing, there's the Ghostbusters one, this one, and a Power Ranger.
I just made that up, but I it's a good name. But yeah, this is of course, you know, I am partial to figures that transform. So if they really want me to buy this, they need to make it transform. I mean, pony to truck and back.
All you need to do is get that Battle Unicorn and mod it so it looks like a My Little Pony, and there you go.
Yeah, that's a good idea. There you
go. I would think if these sell really well, they'll go the other route and we'll get some transforming ones. Mm-hmm. And we've had the transforming Ghostbuster. Now we could get a transforming pony, and then I'm sure they would do Power Rangers since Hasbro owns that now. I don't know. I see Hasbro looking at all the ways they can take all their brands and mix them together. Mm-hmm. Mike, what are your thoughts?
It's interesting, certainly. I think I'm wondering why they went with like the face kind of like they did. I wonder if they tried to do like a mask or something, like a face mask or something on it, and it just didn't work.
I would imagine that they just have like one mold for their pony heads.
True, but I mean, they could like do any number of things on it. Like they can do like a, not an accessory, but they can do like a little additional piece that they can kind of just like snap on there or something. But I mean, I do agree. There probably is just one, like one overall mold look for the body, and then whatever separate pieces are separate pieces.
Prime has a mouth in all the new media these days, which I'm not a fan of.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah. I saw the paint dripping on the Autobot symbol. It's not that it bothers me, but I just want to know why. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Like, why is it like painted on?
Or why is it? So it's not a brand?
maybe.
Someone just kind of saw her design and then just spray painted the Autobot logo.
Yeah. Quattro in the chat just said, better than the Siege battle damage. Yeah,
that's true.
You are right. But yeah, I mean, they could they could have done like the red logo or something on it instead, and then had that as the mark or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they had so much red already.
Yeah, maybe.
It'll be interesting to watch this and see like what it comes out, like what price it comes out at, and if Daryl's right on, you know, the aftermarket cost, what it shoots up to.
Yeah. And I think you guys are right. This was likely supposed to be a convention exclusive of some kind that just because no conventions, it's just getting released. Like, where is it being released on? Is it on like on Pulse or is it somewhere else?
They haven't announced. It was an Amazon UK listing.
Yeah.
I could see it being Pulse. And I bet this was probably like a San Diego exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, even though there are two like fandoms associated with this, I really can't see this working well as a mass market release. Because mm-hmm. I can't, especially like, well, you know, I can't say that because I know a couple of people who would be really into it because it's Pony, and then I know a bunch of people who'd be into it because it's Transformers. So I guess I have to retract that. It probably would fly off the shelves pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're hitting that sweet spot of probably the niche collector in both fandoms. So put them together and then, you know, you have enough to warrant the production run.
Anyone know what the cost of a typical pony is?
I'm assuming this is going to be about $15 or so, maybe 20. I'm looking at it thinking, I don't want this. Why would I want this? This is stupid. And then I keep thinking like, I would be kicking myself if I didn't buy it for $15. And it ends up being worth $100 or $150 in a year or two.
Yeah. I just did a quick search on Amazon. And it seems like most of the ponies are around 15 to 20, like you said.
Yeah.
So being like a special one, they probably mark it up to 30.
Oh, really?
I mean, just judging from like convention exclusives and stuff.
That's okay. Yeah, that's fair. Plus, there's a lot of pain apps on here, so I suppose like 30 or so is reasonable.
All right. Well, that is all I brought this week. Mike, what do you got?
So I am going to be talking about God Neptune. For those of you who do not know, God Neptune was a repaint of, who was it? It was King Poseidon in Japan, and it was Piranacon here in the States. It was the combined form of the Seacons, and this character was in one of the Beast Wars series in Japan, either Beast Wars 2 or Beast Wars Neo, and was one of the big combiner, one of the big threats in the series. And Takara Tomy just revealed the final images here for the Generation Selects God Neptune figure, with a remolded Scylla figure, and yeah, so. So these are pretty much straight. These are almost straight repaints from the Seacons. I think the weapon. Nope, the weapon is not new. It's just a repaint. Again, the only figure that is completely changed or remolded is the Scylla figure, which was a different character in Japan. And yeah, so that is coming out. We do have a price. So it's going to be released in October for 22,000 yen, about $200 here in the US. And they have
$185.99 on Hasbro Pulse.
Okay, cool. Even a bit cheaper. Not bad. And so I'll ask you guys, does anyone have the Seacons sets, or has anyone started collecting them at all?
I have them all. The original G1s.
Oh, yeah.
Was there something wrong with having the originals?
No. But no one has bought any of the new Seacons, right?
No, I have not.
What do you guys think of the overall look of the figure?
I think I like this paint design. I mean, there's a lot of white. That would be my only real complaint. But I like the gold and the teal. I think that works well together.
Definitely agree.
And then you have, like, I guess, like the brass coloring for the trident and some of the accents. I think that works really well, because when you see, like, you know, a lot of, I guess, like Atlantis type things, you usually see a lot of that color. I like a lot of this. It's just all that white. I think they probably could have done a little bit more, some paint apps or some stickers or something to break that up. But I don't know. It looks good combined. The individual modes, I'm not as much of a fan of, but that's just the characters. I just never really been a fan of those designs. But the combined mode, I really do like.
What about you, Charles?
Yeah, I'm not so big on the Seacon designs in general. And God Neptune, I never watched Beast Wars 2nd, so I don't really have any connection to this. But I do... I guess I do like the re-engineering of the Scylla figure. So it's always good to have more fembots. So that's a cool figure, a cool redesign there. But that's not enough for me to buy this whole box set. but I mean, I'm happy for people who can get it. I mean, it's nice that they put it on Hasbro Pulse. So if you're in, if you're not in Japan, you can still get this figure and actually get it for cheaper than it would be to import it. So that's great. I mean, Hasbro Pulse seems to be really targeting the collector market here and helping get all those Japanese exclusive releases here.
Especially like this was Takara Tomy Mall, which is exclusive in Japan.
Yeah.
So it's just our equivalent now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So, I mean, that's positive. So that makes me confident that anything I see coming from Takara Tomy in the future, I'll be able to get easy access to it if I want to buy it. So, but yeah, I mean, I think the color scheme is nice. I think I do like this color scheme better than the original Seacon color scheme. Although, not having that sixth figure, I don't know. I mean, why not include the sixth figure just for shits and giggles? I mean, I know it wasn't...
Because I don't think it was actually part of the show.
Yeah. Still, throw it in there.
Charles has spoken.
And I will be ignored. But yeah, it's cool. I'm happy for the people who want God Neptune, and it looks like this is a good figure. Sorry for the people who are already collecting the Piranacons and feel like they're forced to double dip.
Am I seeing this right? That the entire set is $186.
Are you looking on Hasbro Pulse right now?
Yes, I am.
Does it say $186?
I guess so. I'm just wondering, trying to figure out if that's for one guy or if that's all of them.
That's for the entire set. It says God Neptune.
It says this TT-GS10 thing too. So I didn't know whether that was for one of the guys. Anyway, while you all have been discussing all of this nonsense, I have been looking on eBay and all this other stuff. So the Piranacon set from Generation Selects is going bonkers right now. People are losing their minds over this set, and recently the set of six has been selling for like between $600 and $800 for all six of them. It's ridiculous about how much this set is going for.
How much did that set retail for initially?
Well, you had to buy them individually. So you had to buy, I believe you could buy two at a time. They released two at a time, and you could get in on those two, and then you had to wait, and then you had to get in on another two, and then you had to wait, and then you could get in on another two. So there's a lot of people in here that are trying to sell one of them, or four of them, or two, but most of them have all six, and they're selling them all. But like, they're going for $700 easy. That's a lot of dough. Now, for Hasbro Pulse to come in and be like, we can get you all five of them of God Neptune for $186, that makes me feel pretty good about buying Devastator individually. So mine are definitely a lot lower than this. So if you can get this guy for $186, it's a pretty good deal. Now, my side of this whole thing is this figure is brand new. You know, it's not even out yet, actually. So on the flip side of that, if a actual G1 God Neptune gets listed on eBay, it actually tends to go for about $186 to $200 US. So you could buy an actual G1 God Neptune, or you could buy this brand new one. For me, I'd go for the G1 version because it's the original. But yeah, I get it. You want the new one, the one that's all shiny and new. But for the same price, maybe a little bit more, I'd personally go for the original. But anyway,
that's fair.
Yeah, it's a cool set. Like I said, I do have the original Piranacon, all six pieces. It's 100% complete. Actually, no, it's not. It's missing one claw. One claw for one dude it's missing. So I'm still looking for
Daryl that. Complete?
Yes. my Piranacon is Daryl Complete still. I am on the search for that. This is a cool thing. I'm happy that people have the ability to get this thing. It's cool. I'm floored that Combiner Wars is still going in some way, shape, or form. I think after this, you've got Monstructor, and then maybe you start moving into like the Japanese only combiners, which is ridiculous, but whatever, bring them on.
The capes.
Yeah. So, but it's cool. I think it's fine. I feel bad for the people that are spending insane money on getting the Piranacon set when this one's coming out now and it's so much cheaper.
The people who just put their bids in for that $700 set must be kicking themselves now.
Well, you can probably get out of that. But yeah, so there's one that sold yesterday for $860. Oof. I feel bad for this person. Anywho, it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's not for me. I'm not into Combiner Wars all that much, so it looks cool though. It's a lot of white plastic, so keep it out of the sun. But give me the G1 version any day.
All right. To wrap this one up, the King Poseidon set is listed on EB Games and a Zing exclusive for the Australian markets. Again, coming out in October for about $400 Australian, approximately $250 US. And Takara Tomy Mall has put up the comic that usually goes with their new releases. Both parts one and part two are on the Takara Tomy Mall's website, and you can go ahead and take a look at that online.
Oh, hey, it has Banana Prime in it.
Not translated yet, unfortunately, but give it time. It will come out translated pretty soon, I imagine. And that is all I got. So, Charles, what do you got?
All right. I have rumors. So, we've got the Netflix War for Cybertron series coming up very soon, hopefully in about a month or less than a month. And Hasbro's rolling out a line of figures specifically branded for Netflix War for Cybertron. We saw that at Toy Fair earlier this year. And it, at first we thought it was just going to be, you know, repackaged figures from War for Cybertron Siege that we've already seen. That's what it was. That's, you know, pretty much what we saw. But now we've got news of, listings in the Walmart system that indicate some additional figures. This comes from Zobavore. Who I recognize that name as a poster on alt.toys.transformers, the news group. I didn't know news groups were still a thing. I used to, you know, hang out on the news.
They are, kind of.
I used to hang out on those news groups back in the day, over 20 years ago, but apparently they're still going.
You got to check and see if your account's still active.
Well, there's no account. That's the thing.
Yeah.
There's no account.
What? Then who's Zobavore?
That's his screen name. It's not his. That's his. You know, you post with your email address. So, you know, it was a simpler
time.
this was before everything was a web service. This was when the internet was not all routed through the World Wide Web.
Mm.
It was the before time. we've got listings for upcoming figures. Looks like we've got a Bumblebee. And Quintesson, which we've already seen the Quintesson coming out for Earthrise, but looks like there's going to be one branded for the Netflix packaging. So I'm sure it'll be the same figure. Then we've got Wheeljack and Impactor. So that's probably also just the same figures rebranded. We've got Red Alert, Barricade, Alita One. I wonder if that'll just be a repackage of the Power of the Primes Alita One figure. And then we've got Deep Cover, which is the name given to a black repaint of Sideswipe in previous incarnations. So that's probably what this will be as well. So what stuck out for me in particular was the Deep Cover, which I wonder if in the show Sideswipe will go undercover and paint himself black, or will it, or not? I guess it's not. It's kind of blue and black, so it's not quite G2 Sideswipe, but. You know, a similar kind of idea.
Is he going in Deep Cover?
Maybe. that would be kind of on the nose, wouldn't it? Be like, yeah, I'm the Decepticon Deep Cover. You look a lot like that Autobot Sideswipe. No, I'm Deep
no,
Cover.
No, I don't.
He's like, yeah, so does Red Alert.
We'll see. I wonder. But the other one was Bumblebee. Are we actually getting a new Bumblebee for the War for Cybertron line?
I think they've been holding him off.
Yeah.
Long enough. We were swamped by Bumblebee for so long. I think they're kind of giving it a break, and he's going to come out and he's going to play a big role in the series. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Okay. So that's Jeremy's prediction. So mark that down.
A remold of Cliff Jumper.
In a shocking twist.
Yep. And the Alita One from Power of the Primes was a Voyager. And it's stating here that it's a deluxe, right?
So. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Well, in the news group post, Zobavore guesses that she's a Reeve Deco of Earthrise RC.
Oh.
So
I don't trust this Zobavore guy.
I'll vouch for him.
Well, and we're getting a Quintesson.
No. Jeremy, you're hurting. You stabbed me in the back.
Really, was it in the back?
No, yeah, okay, fair enough. You stabbed me in the front. Yeah, Quintesson. We're getting a Quintesson. But I already pre-ordered the Quintesson, so we know that's coming in the Earthrise set. So this is probably just the same figure.
Yeah, with more battle damage.
Probably. But I wonder if that means that the Quintessons will show up in the Netflix series. That was not, you know, we had not heard any rumblings about that. But I guess we'll see. The other thing, so this was a separate set of rumors, but also another listing in Walmart, that we're also getting in the Netflix War for Cybertron Deluxe figures a Cheetor. So that would be cool. Another Cheetor, robotically designed Cheetor. We did get one for the Cyberverse toy line, but you know, Cyberverse is a lot simpler, less detailed engineering. So getting a War for Cybertron version of Cheetor would be cool. I would welcome that. I wonder in the show how they would justify having a robot cheetah on Cybertron, but. Mike, what do you think of these rumors? Are you interested in any of these things?
I might be interested in the Cheetor. I actually just finished watching the Cyberverse stuff with Cheetor, and it's an interesting character design. Not really a fan of the characterization he has, but I'd be interested in a Cheetor figure. The other ones, I think, a bit less interested in. Like, I already have my Masterpiece Wheeljack, so I don't really need another one. Deep cover, red alert, it's like, whatever kind of things. It really feels like Barricade is probably going to be like a repaint of Prowl, Smokescreen, stuff like that. But, yeah, like I said, the Cheetor seems interesting, at least.
Yeah, we already have a Barricade figure in War for Cybertron Siege, so definitely it'll just be probably a repackage of that.
Unless they're going to do the MicroMaster version of him.
Oh, but I mean this is a deluxe, so.
Oh, right, okay.
So it'll just be the Prowl repaint that they put out in Siege.
Well, hopefully some of these are some new mold and some interesting molds that we can take a look at. But yeah, I think out of all the stuff so far, is the Cheetor is the thing that is most intriguing me.
Yeah, and I didn't see in the post. Yeah, the Quintesson, I forgot that the Quintesson that is the judge, the five-faced Quintesson, is a Voyager figure. So this Quintesson might, like the speculation is that this is the Alicon figure. I guess we'll see.
I think you're mispronouncing that, Charles.
I am not. I am pronouncing it correctly. Quintesson. That's how you say it.
Listen, Charles, language evolves. Better evolve with it or get left behind.
All right, moving on to Jeremy. Jeremy, what do you think?
I think you are pronouncing it wrong.
Just tell me what figures you're interested in.
I like a lot of these. Any new Sideswipe is a good thing, in my opinion. I don't know if there was like a Diaclone blue version of that figure. Wouldn't surprise me if there was. I want to see in the show him have a bandolier and a big gun, though. And Cheetor, I think, is interesting. I don't really know where they would go with it in terms of the design, but we saw things in the comics like Turbo Foxes and other kind of robotic creatures. It would be interesting to see a yellow and black spotted cat-like animal, but not really looking like an Earth cheetah, and see how that works. I don't know. But other than that, I mean, we've seen a lot of these figures in the Siege line, so we kind of know what they are. But the Bumblebee, since we haven't seen anything at all, I am hoping beyond hope that we're going to get a Cybertronian alt mode. That is something we've never had from Hasbro at all, and I think would be awesome. Although I will still be upset that the Wheeljack isn't the little minivan that he could slide into.
Well, DJ Ronan just put in the chat, he found a link on Sabertron.com where they do have some packaging art that shows a Bumblebee. It's a pretty G1-looking Bumblebee standing next to Optimus Prime.
Well, that's a robot mode. I mean, it looks like essentially like the comic.
Yeah.
We have right now.
I mean, my only concern there is that I mean, like Daryl said, we already have a cliff jumper, so it's probably a lot easier for Hasbro to just color that one yellow and put a new head on it and call it Bumblebee. I hope you're right, Jeremy. I hope you're right. All right, Daryl, what do you think?
Personally, I'm not super excited about a Cheetor. It's not nothing against anybody. It's just I'm not a super huge Cheetor fan.
Screw you, Daryl.
Sorry, buddy. Animals should stay at the zoo and not in robot form. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's if it's a good figure, if it's got some really cool engineering, I'll probably pick it up. It sometimes really does come down to that. If it's something I'd really like to actually just experience, I'll buy it just because if it does a cool trick, I want to have it. As far as the other stuff goes, the Netflix shows stuff, there seems to be a lot of like redos in here. The ones that kind of pique my interest are the Impactor. I want the actual good Impactor head for my Impactor. It comes because I got the Autobot one. It comes with the stupid comic book head, not the. I don't know what head do I have. I have the not the more recent head, not the IDW head, but I have the original Marvel Comics head. So it's the square stupid head instead of the cool head. deep cover, I don't care. It's unless it's a cool figure again, I probably won't get it. Red Alert, no. Barricade, no. Alita 1, depends on what it is. I mean, I was not impressed with Alita 1 being a remold of Starscream. Or vice versa, whatever, turning into a jet like that, it did absolutely nothing for me. I love the character in the comic books. It was cool, badass chick. Not my kind of toy that I was looking for. Quintesson, cool. Bumblebee, Jeremy's right. It's time. The fandom's been waiting long enough. There are Bumblebee fans out there, believe it or not. Even after the amount of time and the amount of like craziness they've just... backed the Transformers truck up to Bumblebee and just said, here, we're going to do you all the time, you know, as much as Optimus Prime. But yeah, it's been out. He hasn't been, you know, made for at least a couple years now. And it's time for him to have a new generations release. So.
All right. That's all our toy topics. So we will move on to trips to the store. This is where we show all the cool Transformers stuff we got this week. We do this as a video so you can see everything we got in beautiful high definition, but we also put the audio right here in the podcast so you can keep listening as we describe everything in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
All right, let's talk about the stuff we got, and we're going to lead it off with Mike. What do you got?
All right, it has been a very long time since I've been on the show, but I'm not going to grab every single thing that I've purchased over, what, the last year, 2 years now? How long has it been?
Probably a year.
Couple months.
Couple months. All right, that's fair. But I will show off a couple of things I picked up. So, got... So I got Brunt, Deluxe Brunt from not Earthrise.
Siege.
Yes, thank you. From Siege. So Brunt, cool figure. The guys on the podcast actually picked up a Trypticon for me for my birthday back when he was on sale at not Ollie's.
It was Ollie's. The discount, it was Ollie's.
It was Ollie's. Yeah, yeah.
We did.
They did.
I don't remember approving that.
It's okay, Daryl. I approved it, so it's okay. Oh, okay.
Charles has a card.
I guess I wasn't needed. I wasn't needed for that.
We got receipts. Don't worry. So, yeah, I picked up Brunt to kind of finish up that whole set and got the Toy Hacks custom stickers for it as well. So that was a nice.
Have you put them on?
I did.
I'll buy them, but I'm not putting them on. I don't have that kind of time.
It took, I want to say it took about 4 or 5 hours to do.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
With like a little tiny pair of tweezers just like going on. Do I got it right? Okay, good. Got it. And then getting pissed when I dropped it.
Yeah.
And I had to buy the different shaped like tower, because I guess the Triptychon I have has the alternate form like tower. So instead of the towers in the back being the same ones, it's a different like sculpt to it. So that was fun. But I picked up the sticker set for Triptychon and for Full Tilt and that extra little one. So that was good. Didn't pick up the one for Brunt. I still might go back and do it. Haven't decided yet. Got this guy as well as he falls over. The Earthrise Hoist.
Great knees
on
him.
Love this guy. Yeah, totally great knees. Look at that. Look at that. Look at him do the split and fall over. Or do the limbo and fall over. I like the figure. I like the transformation. I like everything about it, except that his knee joints are a little on the wobbly side, and he doesn't isn't like standing on his own that much. Picked up Ironworks.
Nice.
Absolutely love Ironworks, and I am just yesterday I put an order in for a second one just because I've seen all of like the fan yeah. mode where it has like two or three versions of like two or three Ironworks on there, and it's just like these awesome looking stations and like super armor and everything. It's like yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan of Weaponizers to start with, so like I have Cog, I have Brunt, I have Six Gun, but wasn't really something I cared about that much. But then these guys started coming out, and it's like, yeah, all in.
Yeah, the MicroMaster bases are great.
Yeah, can't wait for the next one, Airwave, and I hope they do unique molds for the second two, or at least heavy remolds rather than repaints of the other two, Grease Pit and Hothouse.
You got it.
I think. Nice. So yeah, excellent. Almost like I do this professionally. Last thing I'll show off is this guy here. Now, he may look like a Titans Return highbrow. However, he is not. He is an oversized knockoff, Voyager-sized version of highbrow. Got him for like $13, and he is better quality than the Deluxe highbrow. I'm so tempted to spend the $100 to get the other six and just have a full shelf of Voyager-sized headmasters. So good.
Do you have the Brainstorm from that came out in Thrilling 30 that's Voyager?
Yes.
And so how does it scale to that?
I will... If you give me 2 seconds, I will grab it.
All the shelves come down now.
and he knows exactly where it is on which shelf.
Yeah. I know, right? So comparing them to that, the Brainstorm is a little bit on the taller side, but not a whole lot.
Mm, okay. Pretty good. So they're pretty good.
So you can get a little close there.
Not as chunky as the newer look, but
Certainly. They scale pretty well. I think aesthetically they don't match as well just because the Thrilling 30 one's the more IDW kind of scaled one, and these ones are that. But yeah, I mean, for $13 for a Voyager that is essentially the same quality, better quality than the Deluxes, I couldn't go wrong. I couldn't say no to that. Mm-hmm. There's one little like extra piece to that too. It's a little hard to see, but there is like a little hinge on this part, like where the tail fin is. That was an addition that was not on the Deluxe version.
Huh.
Cool. Well, that's it for me. Who's next, Charles?
I am next. I do not have any new stuff, but I am continuing to show off my Dreamwave comics. So I've got issue 5 of Dreamwave Transformers Generation 1, number volume 1. This is the blaster cover with Eject, Steeljaw, and Ramhorn, but no Rewind.
You probably just...
probably.
We're going to have to ask Matt Moylan about that.
And the other cover is Soundwave and his well-known cassette. So we've got Laserbeak.
Another rare early Shelton.
Well, mm-hmm. there's a third retailer incentive cover that I don't have, so...
Yet.
Was that the Devastator one? I think that's the second printing.
Oh, okay.
Because the date is different. So still, I don't think that counts.
Still doesn't count. You need the full Shelton.
Well,
it's only first printings. He has it.
Yeah.
It's there.
But yeah, this Soundwave is cool. And we've got Frumble, we've got Ravage, and Laserbeak. All right, so that's all I got. Jeremy, come to you next.
All right. Well, I went to this place this week called a comic store. I know. I didn't actually go in, but I had some comics that were on my pull list that came out the week everything shut down. So I'm calling these my pre-quarantine comics. I have Transformers number 19, Rise of the Decepticons, Thomas Deere cover. And this is cool. And I just realized that when they're now putting this character in the top of here, it makes an eye. I actually put that together before. But I like it. It's kind of reminiscent of the old Marvel box where they would have the character in the box. And then I also picked up Galaxies number 6, awesome Alex Milne cover with the stained glass look on it. It was great. I already read both books, obviously, but nice to, one, get out of the house and two, actually pick these up. And then my store actually is going to open up next week for like 5 people in at a time. So we'll see how that goes. I don't think there's going to be any new comics for me, but nice that things are starting to kind of open up. That's all I got.
All right, Daryl, wrap us up. Bring us home.
All right. Well, I had this guy sitting around here this week, and I hadn't actually put him together for a while, so I figured, I'll put him together finally. This, I posted him on Twitter. This is R.I.D. Landfill. He's a fun character, but when I compare him to the other combiner from R.I.D., I just get sad for this guy, because Rail Racer is just an amazing figure by comparison. But this guy's fun, too. I mean, he's a bunch of different colors. There's a, it's four. It's only 4 figures to make a combiner. And the weird little, connector in the back, like the where 3 of them connect, and then the fourth one kind of stabs in the middle there is really kind of interesting. So it's an interesting take on it. I wish it looked a little better, but whatever. It's fun.
Can't you make any of the limbs be any of the other limbs?
Yeah. Yep, I can. So it's easy enough to switch the legs around, obviously. But you can really move them around, pretty easily. But the arms, I think the arms are pretty much dedicated to being the arms. I don't know. I really haven't experimented with that. But I think the head's pretty much, it has to be the head. So the other one that I pulled out today is, I'm not sure if I've ever shown them off before, but this is a really fun one. And this was the one I thought was going to, impress Mike. This is Beast Wars 2 Magmatron.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. Combiner of only 3 characters and all dinosaur related. And he's fun.
I have never held him in person. I saw him at a convention a couple times, but I've never actually handled one.
Yeah, he's cool. He sticks together pretty well. He's got this this long necked weird dinosaur thing on the back that you have to kind of wrap around and turn around, and then you stick it through the underneath the wing to kind of rest on the shoulder. So it was a bit of a hassle to kind of figure out how it sat, but it's fun and cool. He's got a couple missiles that tab into the wings there that you can lose fairly easily. And then there's another missile here. This sword is actually a gun, so it fires this sword blade. So, yeah, there's
nothing better than a sword gun.
Oh yeah,
or gun sword.
Yeah. So he's full of parts that can easily be lost, but he's a fun figure, and I think individually they all kind of suck, but he's meant to be combined. So yeah, all 3 combined make Magmatron, and he's pretty badass looking. But that's it. That's all I have this week.
All right. I guess that will do it for Trips to the Store.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right. We're back from our trips to the store, and let's move on to convention news.
All right. We have some interesting convention news this week. In the middle of last week, after we had recorded on Sunday, TF Nation announced that this year's show, unfortunately, was going to have to be canceled. And Daryl and I recorded something about it for our Donatrions, just kind of our initial quick thoughts. And I think we talked more about just the overall state of the world. Because, you know, Daryl and I can, you know, it between him and me, we can solve the world problems.
Yeah, we're pretty good.
So, but anyway, today, TF Nation posted on Twitter an image with Blaster playing some sound waves, saying the big broadcast of 2020. And that's all they have right now. Just saying 15 August 2020, they will be doing something online, guest schedule, and more to be announced in the coming weeks. So first of all, I would like to thank TF Nation for doing an announcement on the day we normally record. That is a very awesome of you guys. We appreciate it. But more seriously, I think this is cool. Obviously, it's going to be some kind of online convention, and details, you know, we have nothing other than this image and what they posted. But Daryl, since you know, we were talking about the end of this year's convention, what do you think of this?
Oh, I think it's good. They're still trying to maintain a connection with their fan base. They're trying to keep their convention name in the discussion. The people who had already kind of, you know, made a, you know, commitment to that date, they're going to try and honor that with some kind of content. I think it's great, you know, and we were talking about it on the little, you know, extra that we did. But it's just a small thing that a convention can do. Like, and what we mentioned was that they're not going to make any money, but it's something that they're going to be able to do to just kind of keep their fans happy, because we all know everyone's in this together, but we can all still kind of do shit, you know, to kind of keep each other entertained.
And I think one thing that we've all kind of talked about wanting to go to TF Nation at some point, and being in the US, it's hard for us to do that, especially right now. You know, you can't really travel much of anywhere, but this will kind of give everyone a taste of what TF Nation is. Charles, what are your thoughts? Are you going to tune in to the big broadcast?
Yes, I'm going to tune in. I am excited about this. I'm happy to be able to take part in TF Nation, you know, from across the pond when usually I cannot get a chance to go. So I'm looking forward to it.
We actually had some feedback. I'd forgotten to read this before we got into the big broadcast stuff. Nathan Webb sent us a comment on our Patreon post about the thing Daryl and I did. And he said, hey, I was planning on selling comics and art at TF Nation. I think everyone had realized already that this was going to happen and it's the right thing to do. Everyone's thinking short term right now, but I'm starting to wonder if this will change convention forever. And then we have this news. But Mike, before we get to your thoughts, Yoshi actually recorded something in response to Nathan. So I wanted to play that.
We have a message from Patreon donator Nathan Webb, who is asking about what the future of conventions will look like. I can't tell you what the future of conventions will look like for the long term. I can see short term. I can see 2 to 3 years, I think. And I think the standard operating procedure for conventions for that time is going to be handing out disposable masks and requiring you to wear them. I think that's how it's going to be. I also don't know when conventions are really going to pick up again. I know some states are opening up, but, you know, going to a restaurant has a different effect on society than going to a convention that has 1,000+ people at it. So I think masks are going to be a requirement for that. I'm seeing that in stores here where I live. There are some grocery stores that won't even let you enter unless you're going to wear a mask you brought or one that they provide. And I just think that's going to be the norm for a while, especially with conventions if they have them. Chicago is a hotbed right now for the coronavirus. And I personally don't see TFCon Chicago happening. I would love to go to that. I've got tickets I've got to use from TFCon Orlando that my airline is telling me I have to use before the year's out. And I don't think using them for Chicago is going to work. I just don't see Chicago actually happening the way it's going. You know, and I've got a wife who's a nurse, who's an operating room nurse, who's dealing with it, who's dealt with COVID patients, who's worried about bringing the virus home. She's worried about when I have to go to the grocery store that I'm going to get her infected and that she's going to pass that on to patients. You know, it's not a pretty picture right now. And I can't see a mass gathering of convention goers happening without masks being a mandatory thing for the next 2 to 3 years. That's my 2 cents. It's just my opinion. Do with it what you will.
All right. Mike, what do you think? Do you think we're going to be having more online conventions initially, or like Yoshi's suggesting, we're going to have any kind of in-person thing is going to be vastly different?
I do think that short term, it's going to be difficult to deal with conventions, even if in terms of like legality and local ordinances are say that, you know, a city or a state, or a city or a county or a state or a province can open up. Even if that, I think that a lot of people are still going to be very, very shy about going to these kind of places. And I think it is going to depend a lot on area as well. But yeah, I mean, in short term, it would not surprise me if just the rest of the year, like 100% no conventions at all, like just nothing. And then starting in like 2021, maybe I do see the classic convention scene returning at some point. And it might, and I hate to say it, I hate to be this kind of like alarmist, but it could be that it might be like 2 years down the line before we start seeing that kind of normalcy return. I'm hoping that masks become a fairly common thing, even once all of this is kind of passed, because especially in the United States, whenever people get sick, and this I think is more just a cultural thing, the U.S., you know, citizens of the U.S. just don't like wearing masks, even if they were sick. And I hope, if anything, that changes long term. And if someone really is just not feeling good or sick, that they wear a mask when they go outside. It's just kind of common courtesy.
I mean, that's like very common in Asian countries. And
yeah, absolutely.
Might be a good thing for us to adopt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I think even if that's the only thing that really gets adopted or changed, then that's certainly a good thing for it. But I do agree with Yoshi short term. I do see masks as becoming a more common thing, but I don't think that we're going to see conventions by the end of the year. Again, even if the states or the provinces, whatever the case may be, even if they are opened up, like officially opened, I think people are still just going to be too shy about going to these places. So, I mean, I would think probably the convention season for 2021 is going to be a good measure of how this kind of all comes together. And I hope that it kind of comes back to normalcy, but yeah, I certainly think it's going to be at least probably another year before we actually see people comfortable enough to go out in large crowds like this.
One thing I think I see, you know, we see online things right now that are just open to the public. I'm wondering if the next iteration of this is maybe a mixture of some free stuff and some exclusive stuff. So, you know, they will be bringing in some money, you know, have a paywall. I would hope that they wouldn't paywall everything, because you want to be able to give people a taste before we get back to a lot of in-person stuff. I could see that as a way for conventions to keep their names out there and bring in some money.
It's an interesting idea. I don't want to say I wouldn't like it, but that's also something that I don't think I'd really want to pay for unless I got something more out of it. Like, I have no problem paying for a convention because it's a significant experience. But
right.
Paying to sit at home and watch a an online convention. For me, that's certainly not for me. But
yeah,
I'm having difficulty. It would definitely have to offer something more than, I guess, just panels. I don't know. Like, I'm struggling to kind of see what that would look like.
Maybe some swag, like t-shirt, lanyard, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they would have to offer something, but I could just, they're going to have to do something to bring in money to essentially stay in business.
Agreed. Yeah.
Anyway, that is convention news. We'll have more updates on, you know, TF Nation as they announce them.
All right. And we will finish up the show with some feedback. All right, we got some late bit of feedback from Donatrion John 4x Levengood. He put a note in our Discord chat because he was listening last week to our discussion about where we're going to put where me and Epic were going to put our Unicron when it came in. So John is actually in on the Unicron as well. So. He says, this required a photo, so my feedback is here rather than my customary voicemail. I am a Unicron backer, and when my wife said yes to Unicron, I knew exactly where he was going to go. After seeing the Unicron update photos from Hasbro that hadn't changed, I plan on putting him on display on this entertainment center. It's about 3.5 feet tall with a top around 2.5 foot square. I made this entertainment center in the late 2000s to fit in a specific area of my old house. It is solid wood and should have no problem handling Unicron's weight and size. Hell, it handles my weight and size, and I'm not a small person either. Thanks again for a great show. And he did include a picture in the Discord chat, so you can join the Transmissions Discord, although you have to be a Donatrion to look at the chat for that particular channel. Thanks, John, for showing off your picture. And I'm glad you're able to put it right in your in your living room. That's a prominently displayed in your house. That's cool.
Where are you putting yours?
In the basement with the other Transformers.
You need to put them in planet mode and just hanging from the ceiling in your living room as a centerpiece. Do you have a chandelier in your dining room?
Sorry, I do have a chandelier in my foyer, not in the living room.
Foyer. I said you can move your 70-inch TV.
He did. Put it right there. And he put a 75-inch TV in this place. Oh.
Chandelier's going to have to come down, and Unicron's going to have to go there instead. It's just how it is.
You can put some LEDs in it.
Just work. Put a speaker constantly playing Unicron's theme whenever someone enters the house.
Badass. It's like a motion sensor, too.
That wouldn't get old at all.
All right. Well, yeah, that's thanks, John.
It would certainly bring chaos into your house. Your wife would hate it.
A chaos raven.
Oh, that's a callback to the start of the show.
All right. I think we've gone on long enough. I feel sorry for whoever has to edit this show.
Hate. Oh, my hate.
That's all the feedback for this week, and that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions. Mike, thanks for joining us. Other than Empire of Rust, which you can find at transmissionspodcast.com/rust, is there anything else that you'd like to, you know, tell our listeners about?
You can follow me on Twitter. It is at Minervion, MINERVION, on Twitter. To be fair, I'm not that active on it, but if someone posts something, usually someone will tell me about it. So, yeah, go ahead and give me a follow on that. And certainly go to transmissionspodcast.com/rust. Or wherever you get your podcast from, give Empire of Rust a listen. It is a really good show, I think.
I agree.
Plugging my own shit.
That's what this part of the show is for. That's the world's first and only Transformers RPG podcast.
And best.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
See you next time.
Bye.
Later.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
That was, had to have been killing Charles. Had to have been killing him to not know whether everyone hit the button or not. Did you hit it? Did everyone hit it? I don't know. I have to wait. I don't know what happened.
I just gave an extra two seconds just for a buffer. That's all.
We were being generous, Mike.
I was just going to see how long Charles would go.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Take your gift and just be happy, Mike.
And shove it.
I'm never happy.
You can slot it in there. I know you can. You're good. You're a doctor.
That has nothing to do with it, but okay.
Well, you're an engineer.
Also has nothing to do with it.
You have a mouse in your hand.
That's closer.
Actually, he's on a laptop.
Hold on one second. I think my kids are about to audio bomb the podcast. Let me make sure everything's okay.
Backup is recording. Yeah, leave the mic hot. Oh, he muted it. He's just like that clip of him where he says, where he's telling Yoshi off. That's like, I'm sure he's just ripping into his kids now.
God damn it, Yoshi.
That's right. He's just tear assing through the house. I mean, he's so thin now. He's like light as a feather. He can just jump from floor to floor. Oh, yeah. He's got to be beating those kids right now.
Yeah. If you could throw him in like the Dropbox.
Oh, I thought you meant the kids.
No. The clips. It might be easier for me to grab because it's hard to find them in Discord after the fact.
It's what he calls his basement, the Dropbox.
That's what he puts. It's what he calls the room behind his chair,
the punishment hole.
It's the door behind his chair on the trips to the store. It's his Dropbox. We always wanted to know what that door was for. Now we know. Yeah, now the kids are dealt with. They're in the Dropbox, and now he's got to take it out on the wife for interrupting his podcast.
Switches into a wife beater, grabs a beer.
Yeah, tears the sleeves off his t-shirt and comes back down.
He just puts on a new t-shirt, just tears the sleeves off of it.
Yeah. So we always got to send him new shirts.
I can't have a shirt with sleeves.
I told you, woman. My shirts ain't got no sleeves.
Now go get me a beer and tear my sleeves off.
I heard everything.
Mike made me do it.
Well, since I heard you, I know he didn't.
Did you get a beer for the rest of us? Yeah.
And are we right about the little door behind you on trips to the store?
No. It's a bad drop.
And when did you stop getting
your bad Dropbox?
No.
I'm going to send him like a mail him a sign now just to hang up on there just called the Dropbox.
I love it.
Well, we can just like Photoshop it into the trips to the store video.
Okay, Mike, make a note. That's an edit point.
Mike, make a note. That's a outtake. And just for good measure, we'll put it in the front of the show.
That was 5 minutes there, Charles.
Sorry.
Let's get back on schedule here.
All right. Eaten. All right, Daryl. Oh, sorry. I don't introduce you anymore. I don't know why I did that.
I don't know. Oh, screwed me up. Now I need I need about
yes.
I need 5 seconds.
Now you know how it feels.
I need 5 seconds of silence just to put myself back.
We can't be spreading false news on the podcast, Charles.
Yeah, Americans won't stand for anyone spouting false news day to day.
Well, not regarding their toys.
Some things are sacred, Charles. So, shit, who was next? Charles?
Yes.
That was you? Okay.
All right, well, that is all my toy topics, and that will move... Well, let me start that over. That was terrible. Okay.
DJ Ronan says that he can hear me, so let's go.
That's fantastic.
Before Mike's video cuts out again.
Yeah.